Have you ever said to yourself, I wish I knew now what I, or I wish I knew then what I know now? Right? As the years go on, we gain wisdom from our experiences. And had we had that wisdom at an earlier point in time, we may have made a different choice, gone a different way. I've said many times, I wish I knew then what I know now, but you can't. There's no such thing as, you have to have actually have had the experiences in order to gain that wisdom, in order to be able to apply it, and it's always a go-forward plan. It's never a go-backwards plan. You know, we have such a limited view on what is in front of us, but the past is so much more clear. Like, we can go back and remember those things that we've experienced, but it's not until we've actually experienced them that we can carry that knowledge forward. Amen. I remember when my wife and I got our first house, I had zero handyman DNA in me. Luckily, I had a father-in-law who actually had some of that DNA in him. Chances are he got it from some experiences. And so as he would help us work on our house, I would start to say, oh, maybe I can do that or this. And next, you know, years go by and I can do all sorts of things. But I didn't have that at the beginning. And there was no way to have it when I first entered into the house. I had to live in the house for a while. I had to try and fix things and do some things wrong and then fix them again. And then you get better. And I don't know I'll tell this story quickly. I put new wood floors throughout our whole house. But it was the first time I had ever put in a wood floor in any place. And so I started in Charter's room because I knew if I was going to mess up. It's the truth. I'm sorry. His room is the farthest from anywhere else. And chances are it was going to get messed up somehow. It still looks really good, right? It functions. It's a very nice floor. It's in good shape. But I learned a few things in that room that I then applied everywhere else as I went throughout the house. Now, don't ask me to come put wood floors into your house because it took me 6 or 7 months to do my own, and I don't have that much time to give. But you have to actually do things in order to achieve those things. I wish I knew then what I knew now, but there's no way to do that except. Last Sunday, I shared a portion of Scripture talking about Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was there with his disciples and his followers, and they all witnessed it firsthand. But the Bible says it wasn't until after a few days, after God was glorified, after he rose again, that all of a sudden they realized, this is what was prophesied in the Old Testament. We have been reading these scriptures and we witnessed it happening, but we didn't even realize it was happening in front of us at that very moment. Amen. Until a few days later, because it's always easier to look backwards and see things more clear than it is to look forwards, or even in the present moment that we're in. Amen. Our Bible, this book is filled with prophecies that are in motion, that are happening, that started way back when and have been moving forward. And sometimes we don't even recognize the moment that we're in it. It's taking place. Amen. Until somewhere down the road we look back and be like, oh, this is what that was. This is that, like the Bible says. Even our lives are filled with things that are ever moving forward, the will of God in our lives that we don't even recognize because we're in the moment. It's only when we, at some point in time, that we look back that we start to get this clear picture of, do you see what God was doing? Did you see how he moved, how he shut the door, how he opened the door, how he put situations in my lives, how he put people in my lives? At the time, I didn't see it. And even a few days later, it wasn't until much further down the road looking backwards. It becomes so much clearer. Brother Littles was here on Wednesday, and he proclaimed that the blood is still flowing, and that forgiveness of God is still in motion. Every one of us here tonight can anticipate things that God has promised to us, promised them to us in his word that haven't come to pass. But rest assured, they were put in motion many, many years ago. You know, the Bible says your young men shall dream dreams and your old men shall see visions. And I can't say that I've had a whole lot of those experiences, but there's one vision I know came from God. It was approximately 12 years ago. I think it's the only vivid illustration in my mind that didn't come from me imagining it. I like to imagine things. This one I wasn't thinking about, I wasn't contemplating, I wasn't even asking God about it. But I was in a worship service, and God gave me a vision of my wife vacuuming. So if you don't know, my wife has a chronic disease. It's fibromyalgia and Raynaud's syndrome, and some days, unexpectedly, it puts her in a stop. And in this vision, she was vacuuming, and suddenly she came to the realization that God had healed her. But it wasn't in that moment when she was vacuuming that she was healed. It was a realization of a healing that had taken place, something that had progressively, and not even in that moment, still had already been completed. It was in this vision some days later, some period of time after it had already happened. She had this realization, and she started to worship, and it's gone. It's been gone. That particular Sunday, during that worship service, I wasn't praying for my wife. I've prayed for her many, many times. I wasn't asking God to heal my wife. I wasn't thinking about her. I was thinking about God on the front pew worshiping. And that moment, I left. I went home and I prayed for her and I told her what God had given me 12 years ago. So when the other week, last Sunday, when Brother Harple preached about the transfer and the blessing and the authority that's represented in laying of our hands on someone, like when we pray for someone up here at the altar, it felt like I was suddenly seeing this sign. It wasn't a vision, but it was a feeling. You know when you're driving down the road and maybe you're going on vacation somewhere and your kids are in the back seat and they're crying, how much longer is it? And then you see the sign that says, oh, it's a ways away. But you keep driving. And eventually you see another sign and it's a little closer. And then eventually, and especially if you're returning home, you see the sign that says, oh, we're almost around the corner now. And as he preached to us about laying on our hands and the authority that comes with that and the healing that extends through that, I felt like God was, I passed a milestone. Something that had been put into motion long, long time ago. And time's gone by. But that night, I mean, usually when I pray with my wife for her sickness, it invokes a lot of emotion in me. But that night, I was smiling. there was a joy that was coming. Because I saw a sign that said, it's not that much farther now. Then the next day, I was driving Brother Harple to the airport that next morning, and I shared with him this vision that God had given me of my wife's healing 12 years ago, and I shared with him this. Do you see how far back God went to put a series of events in motion just so that he could reassure me of what's to come, what he's already promised? He didn't need to tell me we're that close, but 28 years ago, he sent a young singer and a saxophone player to come to a little church in Sturtevant, Wisconsin. And a lovely pastor's wife showed the singing group Sidekick, not even the main event, such kindness and care that it made a permanent mark on that young man's life 28 years ago. And Then years later, a young couple who moved to the Racine area from southern Illinois named Kurt and Kristen Coffey walk into this church. And many years later, Brother Coffey's parents find themselves led to a church in southern Illinois, an hour from where they live in Terre Haute, Indiana. And then a year later or so, a district superintendent and a district board invite a preacher named Jeffrey Harple to teach at a 2018 Wisconsin district conference. And because of these coincidences, and they're not coincidences, they're things put in motion, right. Brother Coffey shares a testimony about Brother Harple's ministry with his pastor, Pastor Schumacher, who really doesn't know this man except that he's coming to a district conference, so that's a good sign. And there's a testimony of what he's doing in his parents' lives, and that's a good sign. And so he asks Brother Coffey to extend an invitation. Would that minister spend some time with us after the conference, stay an extra 3 days so he can minister on Sunday? And so he asked Brother Harple, who rarely misses a Sunday service at the church he pastors. And Brother Harple says yes, because he knows the Schumachers, who don't have any recollection of who he is. Things God has put into motion. And I'm just one little thread of it. How many other things has he put into motion off of those exact points in time and those discussions in your life and in my life? The will of God is in perpetual motion in our lives. And when we're in the middle of it, we have a really hard time seeing what's happening. But like the disciples on that Palm Sunday, it was a few days later after Jesus was glorified that they remembered the Old Testament prophecies that they saw happen with their very eyes. And if you're here tonight and you're feeling kind of lost, not knowing which way to go or what's next, let me tell you with certainty that you're exactly where God knew you would be. And it is his perfect will that you would be sitting exactly where you are tonight. And you're not lost. It's just really hard to see what God is doing in the moment of time that we're in. But don't worry. Many days, not too many days down the road, the glory of God is going to be revealed in your situation. And you're going to come to realization that he's been working his plan all along. Now, some of you can nod your heads because you've been around a long time, long enough to look back and see the hand of the Lord in your lives over and over and over again. But I'm certain somebody here tonight doesn't have that same confidence. They're not sure what's next. They're thinking to themselves, you don't know the mess that I'm in. They're thinking, I've done things I shouldn't have done, or I didn't do things I knew I should have, and now I don't feel like I'm worthy or even capable of being restored to what I once was or what I want to be. But here's where it gets really good for you and I. Because the plan that God put into motion on the cross covered our past, amen, our present, amen, and our future. Amen. He already paid the price for your and my restoration, because on that day when he shed his blood, it didn't just cover some of my sin. Amen. It covered all of my sin. We're stuck here in time thinking it's too late. But we forgot that God is not limited to the here and now. Amen. If you'd stand with me and open on your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. The word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 46, verse 9 says this: For I am a God, and there is none else. I am a God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, I declare the things that are yet to be done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You see, God's not limited to this moment in time. He doesn't just see the beginning from the end. He declares the beginning from the end. Amen. You don't have to turn there, but Revelation 1 and 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So let me ask you this, would an all-knowing God who declares the beginning from the end, would a God that wrapped himself in flesh in order to be that perfect sacrifice, could he somehow not know the full price that he was about to pay? You see, God knowingly paid the full price for all my sins up front, amen, past, present, and future.
Amen.
Would you pray with me tonight? God, I pray that you would allow your word to go forth freely tonight, God, that you would open up our understanding, a revelation about how unlimitless you are, God. God, we're so bound to this time and this place, the here and now. It's hard for us to see today. We can see a little bit of the past, and we certainly can't see the future, but God, you've seen it all, and you paid the price anyways. It's in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Consider this. When he died on Calvary and paid the penalty for my sin, did he pay the price just for my sin up to that point in which I was baptized in his name for the remission of sin? Or did he pay the price to include every sin before and every sin since? And God forbid, if tomorrow I trip and fall, he already paid the price for that sin as well.
Amen.
The answer is yes. You see, we live in the present, and while we do have a memory of the past and we have a glimpse into the future, I wasn't born when Jesus, with his blood pouring out of his flesh, said with his last breath, "It is finished." At that precise moment in time, I hadn't even had a chance to sin yet. Because it wasn't until about 2,000 years later that I took my first breath. So when he paid the price for our sin, he prepaid.
That's right.
You know, when you go on the booking site and they give you the choices, well, you can reserve a room or you can prepay for a room. I never choose the prepay version because I don't want to give him my heart and money until I know I'm going to be there.
Right.
We don't prepay. He prepaid. Revelation 13 and 8 says, "He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." The God who is all-knowing had a complete understanding of our shortcomings from the moment he laid the foundations of the world.
Amen.
Let me read a portion of scripture to you from the NIV translation. It's in Hebrews chapter 4, starting verse 7. It says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands today, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, but just as God said, 'So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter into my rest.' And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world." In this portion of scripture, we're reading about believers and unbelievers and those that chose to enter into this plan of salvation, this rest, and those who rejected it. And God says, I will never allow those people who have rejected it to enter into this rest. There is no way of gaining salvation if you don't comply, if there isn't obedience. Even though I've already paid the price from the very beginning, the foundations of the world, it doesn't matter if you reject it, I already paid for it. And just because I paid for it, it doesn't mean I'm going to give it away to you freely.
Amen.
See, we would think in our logical minds that if you've paid for a thing, it's just a horrible waste to let it go and not be used.
Right.
If I pay for something and I put it on the table at home and nobody eats it except me and the rest of it goes to waste, I get a little upset about that. So then I just eat the whole thing myself. But God said, I paid the whole price.
Amen.
And even though some of it's going to be left to waste, I'm not going to just give it away for free.
Amen.
I'm not going to just give it out because I paid for it. It requires our obedience. And the plan of salvation that was put into motion on the cross is still available to us today, regardless of whether you accept that plan or not.
Amen.
Verse 6 of that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 4, it goes on to say, "Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again said, 'A a certain day, calling it today. When a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, even tonight, there still remains time to enter in. But you cannot enter in if you're living in disobedience to the word of God. Do you know why today is the day of salvation? It's because we exist in the here and now.
Amen.
Today is the day of salvation because we're bound by time. As an example, if I live for God for 21 years and tomorrow I allow some unrepented sin into my life, all the days that led up to that day are completely negated. Unless today I find an altar of repentance, because today is the day of salvation. So considering we're bound by time, I want to give everyone here a heads up that Christmas is just 9 months away. I know, you've been warned. If you haven't started making out your wish list, the clock is ticking. Okay, I admit I don't actually make a Christmas list anymore. I just have an Amazon Prime list and an eBay watch list, and they're not bound by time or Christmas at all. But there was a time when I did make a Christmas wish list to inform my parents and Santa what I really wanted. Raise your hand if you've ever made a Christmas wish list at any point in your life. Most of us here have somewhere along the line made a wish list. Now raise your hand if you've ever asked for something that was totally outlandish, like I want a trip to the moon or a pet unicorn, or maybe you've received one of those requests as a parent or a grandparent, and you're like, oh honey, I don't know if we can fit that under the tree. Well, this past January, one of my coworkers was telling me a story about their youngest son who isn't like the rest of their children, and it was evident by what he put on his Christmas list. She said that her son asked for just one thing this past Christmas, and it wasn't a Red Ryder BB gun. No, he only wanted one thing, an unlimited credit card. And he wasn't joking. That he was very sincere in his request. He made it clear to his parents that the only thing that would make him happy on Christmas Day was an unlimited credit card. Now, it was about this time in the story that I asked her, well, how old is your son? And somewhat reluctantly, she said, well, he's 15 years old. And then she followed that up with, you know, apparently he still hasn't grasped onto the concept of how money works. She went on to say that when he didn't get an unlimited credit card under the tree, he was so angry at his mom and dad. And she tried to explain to him that there is no such thing as an unlimited credit card. There's just a credit card, and then your mom and dad have to write a check to pay the bill. And it didn't matter to him. He didn't get what he wanted. There was nothing they could do to satisfy this spoiled, rotten 15-year-old boy. So while I hope this story is a very isolated case that none of us can relate to, I doubt that any of us has ever written down on our Christmas wish list asking for the blood of Jesus to wash us clean of all our sins, past, present, and future. Oh, I'm sure most of us have asked for forgiveness of our past.
Amen.
If you were here this morning, some of us have asked for forgiveness of our present, but it's unlikely that any of us have asked for forgiveness for our future, because we're bound in time. Today is the day of salvation. We only know the here and now. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, if you would. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He took them all on that day.
Amen.
The past, the present, and the future.
Amen.
He prepaid for every sin that I ever have, ever will have in my life.
Amen.
For the sake of illustration, let's continue to use this credit card metaphor as it applies to our lives. For me, I racked up charges living a life the way I wanted to live for 21 years before I realized that there was a get-out-of-debt program that really worked.
Amen.
I found out that the Word of God says that if you will repent and be baptized, Jesus will pay your whole balance.
Amen.
And you will be debt-free because He died on a cross so that you and I could be made clean.
Amen.
So I did. I was baptized and my bill was wiped out clean, zero debt. But as it happens with every one of us, even after Jesus paid off the balance, we still make some purchases we shouldn't have made. And as long as we live in this flesh, the Bible says that no man is without sin. So it's likely that we will incur some more debt along the way. So when Jesus paid the price for a sin, He didn't just pay the price for the sin that happened up to the time we were baptized in His name. No, He paid our balance then with the foreknowledge that He was going to have to prepay to cover all the charges that we would still make down the road.
Amen.
Because the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sin is kind of like an unlimited credit card.
Right.
Consider this. If He didn't pay for all past, present, and future sin when He hung on a cross and shed His blood, then when we fall and repent of that sin, He would have to somehow shed more blood to cover those newly incurred costs that as sin enters into our lives. But God doesn't have to pay as we incur the charges of sin, because on that day when that most precious, innocent, perfect blood of Jesus was shed, He paid all
Amen.
Of the costs up front.
Amen.
You can turn to this scripture in Hebrews chapter 9, starting verse 22, but for sake of clarity, I'm going to read out of the NIV version again. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "In fact, the law requires that everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of heavenly things, that is the tabernacle on this earth, to be purified with the sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these," or these goats and these sheep. "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, and now appear for us in God's presence. Nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again, the way that the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But He has appeared once for all the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time, but not to bear sin, to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." He paid it the price all at once. Do you know how long ago He got the bill? Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. You know, when we incur a charge on our credit card, it's from that point going forward, and they send out a bill 30 days after with interest due. But God didn't wait for the debt to be incurred. He looked into the future and said, even from the very beginning, "I know what it's going to cost." In 1 Peter 1 and 18, it says, "For as much as you know you were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." You see, even before man was created, God foreordained. He understood the price that He was already accepting, the bill that was going to have to be paid. He planned to pay that price for our sins, past, present, and future, before He even laid the foundations of the world.
Amen.
That's how far back He got the bill
Amen.
For you and I. Church, I know this sounds so simple, but there's something profound that's got me so excited, because it's even bigger than just you and I.
Amen.
because he didn't just pay the price for the saints. No, he took the blame for the saints and the ain'ts. He paid the price for everyone's sin up front. Turn with me to that verse of scripture you can find in every baseball game, John 3:16. You know, guaranteed somewhere in the stadium, someone has a banner or a sheet hanging from a balcony with this scripture on it, but I'm not sure how many of them fully comprehend how big a deal this really is.
Amen.
And let's actually start in verse 15 of John chapter 3, verse 15. It says that whatsoever or whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, does the word whosoever sound very exclusive to you? No, that's anyone and everyone, whosoever.
Amen.
Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son or flesh that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, sometimes I think in my mind, we start to equate the love of God to those just really pleasant, good-natured people. You know, today there are approximately 7.5 billion people alive on this earth. Over time, it's estimated that somewhere in the neighborhood of 108 billion people have roamed the earth at one time or another. That's a lot of sin debt to pay. But he paid it all up front, not just for the saints, not just for the good and pleasant people, but for everyone. And from before God even formed the foundation of the earth, he already knew what the price was of the bill was going to be, past, present, and future. John 3:17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We will feel condemnation from our sin, but it's not God's will that we live in that condemnation.
Amen.
He's here to save you and I from the weight of that sin that's in our lives.
Amen.
If you're feeling like it's too late, it's not too late, because he's already prepaid for all of those mistakes.
Amen.
Turn with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
He's paid for 108 billion people's sin, past, present, and future, regardless of whether or not they accept his payment. Now, if God's paid for all of mankind's sin, that means he's paid for the worst people in society. There was no a la carte menu where God chose whose sin he would bear. There was no selection process dividing the murderers and the rapists from the liars and the crooks, because he paid the full price for everyone that will ever live.
Amen.
It's hard for me to comprehend when you think of the evil that's in this world.
Amen.
He paid the price for them too, knowing what it was going to cost him. He gave himself for all, for every person that has, is, and will ever live.
Right.
None of us deserve this love.
Amen.
But that didn't stop him from prepaying the price for our sins. If you're feeling like it's too late, it's not too late.
Amen.
You see, while it's still today, while you still have breath, it's never too late.
Amen.
Because of regardless of whether or not you accept his payment, he's already paid for it.
Right.
He's already paid for your forgiveness. He's already paid for your redemption.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how far you've fallen away from God. God's already paid the price for your restoration.
Amen.
But you have to accept his payment through repentance, like it says in 2 Peter 3:9.
Amen.
2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because he's prepaid the price for them all.
Amen.
He knew that you and I were not perfect, and that we would not be perfect after that day that we were born again, so he paid the full price for our sin, past, present, and future, with no guarantee that any one of us would redeem it.
Amen.
Now, I know 007 might have had a license to kill, but please don't confuse this prepayment with a license to sin.
Amen.
If you'd turn in your Bibles with me next to Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" This isn't a license to sin. It goes on to say in verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether to sin unto death or unto obedience unto righteousness. God be thanked that that ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even now so yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." You see, you can't say, "Well, I'll sin today with the plan to repent tomorrow."
Amen.
Because today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that tomorrow isn't promised.
Amen. Right.
And as we allow sin, we become the servant of sin, and we think, "Well, tomorrow I can repent." But as that sin enters in, it's like a sickness that takes over.
Amen.
And next thing, you're thinking things that you've never thought before, and you're doing things you never thought you'd do before. And one thing leads to another, and you thought tomorrow I was going to repent, but we become the servant of whatever we yield ourselves to. Turn in your Bibles, or actually I'll read this one for you. I'll read it out of the NIV in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, the forbearance of his patience of God, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" He doesn't give this opening or this grace or this prepayment of our sins with the intention that we can just keep adding up to the bill willingly. No, he makes it so freely available to us to lead us to a place of repentance. It goes on to say, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself." You're just racking up the bill higher and higher until the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. Please don't confuse his overwhelming patience and his overflowing kindness with a free ticket to sin. Tonight, if the musicians would come and we turn to our last scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I want you to know that God has already written the check. He's already signed his name in blood, and after we've been baptized, all we have to do is repent and confess our sins in order to continue to have the freedom that God is wanting us to have. In 1 John 1 and 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." If we'll confess, he's faithful to forgive. But it's not going to cost him more than what he's already paid. You know, a while back, I put together this illustration, and I dug it back out. It's the check. It says, it's a Word of God promissory note from Straight Street Heaven. It says, "Pay to the order of you, your children, and all that are far off. Its value is priceless. It's for the washing away of my sins, the Holy Ghost, and eternal life." Little note says, it's my plan of salvation. And in that illustration, we left the signature line blank because you can't sign this check, Father.
Right.
Can't sign this check, Son. It'll bounce.
Right.
Can't sign this check, Holy Ghost. There's only one name that can be put on this check.
Right.
But he didn't just sign a check and have it here waiting for you. He actually already sent it to your creditor. We think as we sin and we wonder, well, I don't want to go to God with that. What is it going to cost him? He's already deposited the check. The payment's already been made. It just needs to be credited to your account. It's not going to cost him any more. He's already paid it. If we'll just repent and confess our sin, there is no incremental cost to Jesus. One of the problems that keeps us from accepting this payment is because we can't fully understand that kind of love. You know, often we think about the love of God that he has for us, the church, his bride, because we've accepted that love and we can feel his response to that love. But God's love didn't start when we repented and went down in the waters. No, God's love isn't limited to those who have just responded to this invitation. As humans, we're so careful how we show our love, to whom we show it, and the conditions that have to be met in order to maintain that kind of love. But God didn't set up any preconditions that had to be met. Amen. No, he just throws his love out there with almost no regard for it. No concern of what it's going to cost him, how we'll react, if we'll love him back, what he's going to get in return. No, he just pours it out there. Amen. For everyone, the worst of the worst. There's a song that's titled Reckless Love, and it sings about this God who seemingly is so reckless with the way he approaches his love for us. Let me share a few words. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Whatever's weighing you down tonight, my God already knew it would be weighing you down. He already prepaid the price for you to be restored. And if tomorrow you trip and fall, he's paid the price for that as well. Would you stand with me tonight? There's nothing you or I could do to separate us from the love of God. Can you imagine what it cost for 108 billion people's sins that day? Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, wherever you've come from, it's not too much, it's not too late.
Amen.
Whatever happens tomorrow, it's not enough to stop the love of God. As we open up this altar tonight, I just pray that we would somehow remove the time-bound thinking that we're in and realize that how big, how wide, how broad this love of God is that he's poured out on us, all because he wants to restore a relationship. Would you come tonight?